that I believe that when children of God, the children of God, God's select, God's elect, God's very own, when the body of Christ decides they're fed up with being fed up, when we decide we're tired of being tired, we're tired of just living a same old way of life, tired of getting up in the morning, having your routine. You know, everybody's got a routine, right? I got a routine. Everybody has a routine. But is it God's routine? Are you following God's purpose? Are you following God's plan? Are you following God's agenda for your life? Because until you find out what His plan is for you and what His purpose is for you, and then you begin to pursue that plan, you're not going to be a very, 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 very happy person. Now, happiness is circumstantial. And we know that that's an outside experience, happiness. Everything in place, having plenty of money in the bank makes me happy. Everybody happy when you got plenty of money? Everybody should be. Everybody's happy when they got plenty of money. Everybody's happy when nobody's sick. Everybody's happy. But there's something even greater than that, and it's called joy. And joy is of the human spirit. Your spirit doesn't get happy. Your spirit experiences joy. Now, your flesh likes happy, your mind likes happy, your emotions like happy, but I'm talking something way bigger and way better than happy. I'm talking joy. And when you have the joy of the Lord, you have something called His strength, because the joy of the Lord is His strength. And until we get over into the spirit realm and begin to walk in the joy of the Lord, but I've come to understand in my walk in times with God is that joy is not circumstantial based on what is going on in my everyday life and my routines of life. The joy is when I know God's purpose, when I know God's plan, when I know God's, and I'm pursuing that plan. That's when I got some joy. That's when I'm really joyful, because I don't care what my circumstances look like at that point. I don't care what my situation looks like. I don't care if anybody even likes me or not. I don't care if everybody's mad at me or not. I don't care if I've got any money in the bank or not. I don't care if it looks good. I don't care if it looks bad. I don't care if I look good. I don't care if I look bad. I don't care what's going on in this world. I don't care if the stock market's falling. I don't care if the sky is falling. I don't care if the world looks like it's blowing apart. I don't care what's coming or going, but I can tell you this. I have joy, because joy is not of this world. Joy is not of my circumstances. Joy is out of the kingdom of God. Joy is a part of being connected to Him. Oh, glory to God. That's what really matters. Do you have any joy? Do you have any joy of the Lord? Because that ain't something you can't buy with a credit card. You can't put that on a MasterCard. You can't go out and put joy on any kind of a bank loan. Joy comes from God. It's a force of the human spirit that the Holy Ghost puts in you, the ability to walk in joy. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Believe me, it's time to get past the old emotional man. It's time to get past what's in your mind. You know, the old elephant, as big as an elephant is, you can take that elephant and tie it for a few months on a chain and a major stake that it can't get from, and it'll tug. And if you put that thing on a big old strong stake bigger than him, then he's stuck. And then after a little while, you've got him broke, and you can put him on a rope and a little old peg, and he'll still feel that rope on his leg, and he won't budge. He'll still think he's got that. He thinks that thing's got him whipped. He thinks that thing's got him in bondage. Most believers are in bondage to the things that they feel, they think, and they experience in their life every day. They've never stepped over into the spirit realm of God and enjoyed the blessings that God and the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's called the joy of the Lord. 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 You know why I love the joy of the Lord? Because it gives me the ability to step out of this old body and step over into the realm of the Spirit. And I can jump and I can leap and I have joy. I'm telling you, when you got joy and you got a devil after you, you can laugh in his face. You can jump high up in the sky. Your spirit man is limitless. There's no bonds in the spirit. There's no boundaries in the spirit. There's no chains on your ankle. There's no chains and blinders on your eyes. Because when you see correctly, when you see Jesus correctly, when you see what he's promised you rightly, and you rightly are dividing the word of truth, then you know that he cannot ever defeat you. That song we just sang, he is the victor. Because of Jesus' victory, you are assured victory. 100% of the time. Just mark it down. You are already an overcomer. Mark it down. You've already won. Mark it down. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Mark it down. You already have the victory. And we're all struggling to try to get the victory. Well, what do I have to do, God? What should I do? What buttons do I push? We want a McDonald's, God, and we want to drive through and put our order in, and we want God to answer it just like that. And if God doesn't answer, we get our feelings out of place. We get out of whack, and we're ready to bail out on God. We're ready to jump the ship. We're ready to go on and do something else. We're ready to get our minds on other things. But I'm telling you what, he said, I will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on me. And he said, you are more than a conqueror through Christ. Hallelujah. Glory. Is anybody with me this morning? Anybody preach? Can anybody preach this with me? Is there anybody who can get up here and preach with me? Come on, somebody help me out here. Somebody come up here and take the mic and preach a little too. We all ought to know who we are. We ought to know that we're more than conquerors. It doesn't matter what comes and what goes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory.
Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Let me give you some scriptures. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon. I don't even have to read this one out of the word. I know this one. This one's in my heart. This one I can talk to the devil in. This is a spiritual law that operates if you believe it. If you know the word of God and it's written in your heart and it's written in your mind, then you know this is a truth. This is a no-brainer verse. This is one of those verses that you got in your arsenal. You know, when you go out to hunt, I don't know about hunting bow, and I don't know about hunting bow and arrow, and I don't know about hunting guns and all that with deer, but I know there's certain kind of game that if you go after a certain kind of game, you got to have a certain kind of caliber of bullet. You got to have a certain type of bow, and you got to have a certain power behind it, because it's going to penetrate some muscle. It's going to penetrate some bone. It's going to bone into the heart of that animal, and it's going to take that game down. And I'm going to tell you something. You ain't got some arsenal. You ain't going to take the devil down, and you ain't going to know how to deal with the devil when he comes at you like a lion, because the word of God says he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he will devour you if you don't know how to pull out a weapon and you don't know how to put him on the run. Amen. Glory. You know, the Lord told me the Holy Spirit is the voice of the Lord in the earth. Let me establish that for you. And you may already all know this, but this is good to hear. The voice of the Lord speaks to every single child of God. The voice of the Lord is available to anybody who wants to hear his voice. Anybody want to hear the Lord speak to them? He will speak to you. I lay a pad of paper by my bed, and I lay a pencil by my bed, and I said, Lord, whatever you want to tell me, you tell me, because there's something about going to sleep at night and being able to rest and sleep and being able to kind of go into that deep consciousness. And when I'm coming out of that consciousness, I hear the voice of the Lord many times speak to me. Many times the Lord has said things to me. I've heard the audible voice of God in the middle of the night. I've heard God wake me up in the middle of the night. I've heard him call my name, and then he speaks a word to me. Ooh, glory. And then I write it down. I'll write it down. I've got a whole notebook of stuff he's given me through dreams, through revelations, and he'll speak to me. He'll speak to me things. And it's for a time and a season. You know, there is times and there's seasons in our lives. But God has a plan and God has a purpose, and he wants you and I to find out what it is and pursue it. We're so lazy, we want God to just throw it on our heads. You want to be dumped on. You don't want to have to pray. You don't want to have to read the word. And forbid we ever have to fast. Forbid we ever put back a plate. Forbid we ever get hungry for God more than that food. More than hungry for God. Oh my goodness, I surely can't get more hungry for the food than I am God. Oh my goodness, I can't surely miss a plate of food and hunger for God and hunger for the things of God. Oh, let me tell you, I put the plate by him many a time and said, God, I'm hungry for you. I got to know what the victory is all about. I got to know how to walk in the victory. I got to know how to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. I want to know what it is to live like that. We got to know. We just better know. We better know. Mm-hmm. And it ain't just for the preacher. Every child of God has a privileged position in the kingdom. Whew, glory. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And you know why I got some joy? Because I know the word is the truth. It's the truth. Oh, but we wring our hands. And oh, but we moan and we groan and we worry and we fuss and we fight and we do this and we do that. And I tell you, that's the devil's tactic. The devil's tactic is get you over in the soulish realm. Get you thinking, 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 thinking. If he can get you thinking, 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 he's got you. Because that's his rhyme. The realm, the soulish realm, is where he wants to work. But if you get him over in the spirit realm, which is the word of God. Jesus said, the words that I speak into you, they're spirit and they're life. The word of God is spirit and it's life. Get him over in the word. Get him over in your human spirit. Well, there's some word in there. Hopefully there's some word in there. Get some word in there if there ain't any word in there. And then take the devil to the word that's in you. And he can't do a thing with that. There's not one thing the devil can do with the child of God who puts him on that territory. You see, we've never taken him there. We've never taken the devil in that realm. We've never dared even go there ourselves. We won't believe God for a headache. We won't believe God for a toenail. We won't believe God for a toothache. We won't believe, oh my God, believe God for a broken ankle. Ooh, glory. We've never done that. So how are we going to take the devil there? Because we ain't ever gone there ourselves. It's a new realm. Remember Star Wars? Going where no one's ever gone before. New territories. Taking new places. New experiences. Well, I'm telling you, there are things in the spirit realm that you can't even imagine until you get over there in it. There's victories beyond your imagination in the kingdom of God. But it's just, we don't go there. We've never chartered those places. We've never stepped into those realms. I'll never forget the day I was walking across my living room floor and I was lifted up out of my spirit and my feet were standing on my shoulders. I'm talking, I was standing on my shoulders looking out into a realm of vast darkness. There was nothing but pitch black everywhere. I looked around me and off from the right I saw a fiery dart coming at me and it was rippling in space and it was similar to those things that they fire in those shows. But it was coming and it got closer and it got closer and it got bigger and it got bigger and I was getting a little bit concerned because it was the shape of a fiery dart and on the end it was blood red and it was coming at me and I knew that if it came and got me it would have destroyed me. But before it got to me, I got back in my body, thank goodness. But do you think your body's any defense against those fiery darts the devil throws at us? No, because he is like a roaring lion. But the word of God teaches us, spiritual revelation, that take on the whole armor of God. And above all, take the shield of faith, which you can quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. You fire him at you, he'll set you up. He will set you up. That's why you've got to stay covered, child of God. You better get under a covering. You better get under an anointing. You better get your own anointing going on. You better get your own covering going on. You better get your own prayer life kicking in. You better get your own revelation kicking in. You better get your own word life kicking in. You need to know how to speak to your mountain. You need to know how to cast out devils. You need to walk and talk the word of God and tell the devil who he is. He's a defeated foe. That's who he is. He is defeated. He's already been stripped of all authority. He's been stripped of all power. So why do we let him have place in our lives? That's why the word says, give no place to the devil, because he'll take it if he can. But he can't. He can't take no place if you don't give it to him. And if you ever do slip up and give him place, if you ever do smack somebody upside the head, or if you ever do just cuss somebody out, I'd say that's giving place to the devil, wouldn't you say? And we all have done it. But what you do what I do. Okay, I get on my knees. Lord Almighty God, I ask you to forgive me. You know, Lord, I'd really like to hurt them. So I ask you to forgive me, God. I'm a human being, and they push my buttons. And I'm tired of dealing with them. They're a bit on my last nerve, Lord. They've done stepped on my last patient nerve. And some folks got more patient nerves than others. You know what I'm saying? And I have to say, God, forgive me. Just forgive me. And honestly, it don't matter if anybody else forgives me or not. You know that? That's the good news. They can be mad at me all they want to. But if God says, stamps me forgiven, see the stamp? I don't know if anybody ever saw the stamp. I've seen the stamp. My imagination. I got a great imagination. See the stamp that says forgiven. I mean, see it. Just see that big old stamp. And then say, hey, I've got a big old forgiven stamp right here. Yeah. You want to bring back my past? You want to talk about how mean I've been? You want to talk about how wild I've been? You want to talk about how many times I've been married? You want to talk about how many drugs I've done? You want to talk about anything about me you want to, you go right on ahead. Even if it was just yesterday. If forgiven means forgiven, it means forgiven. Argument over. Case settled. Take to the Supreme Court of the high, almost high God, Supreme Court. He's the judge of the universe. And he's the only judge you and I are going to stand in front of anyway. So, and you know, the other thing is you're going to be there alone. You know, there's only one man you and I will ever have to give account to, and that's his name is Jesus Christ. He's the only man that I have to make sure I please every single day of my life because he's been revealed to me. I am without excuse. I'm without any excuse. If I neglect so great a salvation, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And the revelation of that right there in Hebrews, that revelation is, how are you going to escape the devil knocking on your back door if you've neglected the authority and the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost that God has given you? And you've opened doors to the enemy. How can you escape him? How are you going to deal with him if you've opened doors to him? Huh? Glory. Glory. Get your own revelation. Get your own revelation. Hallelujah. Everybody better get their own revelation. Everybody say, get my own revelation. I got to get my own revelation. I like the preacher's revelation, but I got to get my own revelation. I got to be able to share this revelation with my family. I got to be able to send this revelation on down the line to my next generation. I got to be able to tell them they don't ever have to worry about the devil. They don't have to worry in fear. They don't have to ever be in fear. I'm not afraid of sickness. I'm not afraid of disease. I'm not afraid of nothing he's got packing in his suitcase. Nothing. The only thing I have to believe is what this word tells me. And the word tells me I'm an overcomer. So Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon. Let's just look at that. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I'm a fanatic. Oh, yeah, I am. But you're looking at an almost 58-year-old woman that's never been sick hardly a day in her life. Ever. Without a pain. Without a symptom. Without a sickness. Without a disease. You're looking at somebody who can still run a mile. You're looking at somebody who's still got victory in every area of my life. And you know why I have victory in every area of my life? I got a sound mind. He's not giving me the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You know why? Because I believe that. I chose to believe what God said about me, not what a psychiatrist told me. Oh, yeah, she's crazy. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not. Oh, yeah, you're sick. Oh, no, I'm not. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. You see, I was healed because I was healed 2,000 years ago when Jesus died and paid the price for that on the cross. And when he was raised from the dead after his beating, and we went to the cross and he was raised from the dead, he destroyed every work of darkness. So how could I say I'm healed when you're not healed? It's obvious you got a broken leg. It's obvious you got pain. You know, it's obvious whatever. But I don't go by what is obviously in my flesh. There is the spirit realm that I go by. I walk in the spirit. The word of God says if you walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You know what the lust of the flesh is? Self-pity. Oh, feel sorry for me. Look how bad it is. Self-pity is a fleshly thing. It's so selfish. It takes other people's energy to think about you. Don't take your trouble and time thinking about me. Get your mind on Jesus. I don't want nobody pitying me. I don't want anybody thinking bad about me or thinking good about me. Don't think about me at all. Think about Jesus. Get your mind on him. He's all I care about glorifying. Let me find that verse. Hallelujah. I get up every day. Every day I get up and I just want to worship God. I just want to serve him. I want to love him. I want to serve him and I want to worship him. And I want to say, what can I do for you today, God? What's your plan for me today? He says in Isaiah or Jeremiah 29, he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. He's got good thoughts for me. Isaiah 54, 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. You know, I could preach a message, a whole hour's message right here on this. Right here. Right here. And let me tell you what this message would be. It's all about what you are saying and who are you agreeing with. It's about what are you believing and what are you saying and who are you agreeing with. Because the devil has a mindset against you and me, everybody. He has a word, a revelation word he wants to put over on you. And he's got he will make sure somebody gives voice to it. He will put his words in somebody's mouth to speak it out in the earth against you. He will use somebody's tongue to spew poison out on your life. And if you don't know how to counteract that with the word of God, that will have an effect on your life. Words are powerful. And you got to learn how to cast those things down in the name of Jesus. And every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I don't care if it's my mother's tongue, my brother's tongue, my sister's tongue, my kid's tongue. I don't care whose tongue it is. I'm condemning it if it's not the word of God. I'm casting it down if it isn't what God says about me. If somebody's trying to put sickness on you, you better cast that thing down because it will have an effect on your mind and on your body and on your life. And it'll hold you in bondage because it's sent as a weapon against you. Words are sent against us through words. What do you think about these people talking behind your back? They're talking this, they're talking that, murmuring and complaining, saying this and saying that. You never done this right. You didn't do that right. You ain't doing this enough. You ain't going here enough. You know, you ain't getting up early enough, or you ain't praying long enough, and you sleep too late, or whatever it is. You're complaining and speaking a word against somebody else. The devil's using your own tongue to do it. Whew. Be careful that the devil don't use you to destroy other people. Really. So, Teresa rises up. Holy Ghost says, somebody's talking about you. Well, I'll deal with that. Let's go to Isaiah 54, 17. I declare, this is what I do. I declare and I decree that every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I condemn that tongue and it suck it right now. And I say the words that they're speaking against me will go back into their own life in the name of Jesus. Would you like to have somebody pray like that over you? Better not be talking about me. God will tell on you. And I'll condemn the tongue that's talking about me. Because, see, I can't let the devil use anybody to destroy this ministry. I can't let the devil destroy me. And if you aren't getting up every day and finding out who the devil's working in your life through and condemning their tongue, and you can't do it in the natural. Now, don't get on the phone and start telling people off. I used to do that. I know you're talking about me. You get paranoid and crazy like that. But I'm talking, let God reveal it to you and let God let you learn how to take the sword of the Spirit and put it under the devil's throat and say, thus saith the Lord. And you send out a ripple, powerful force in the spirit realm that shuts every tongue down that rises up against you in judgment. That's the devil's number one way to destroy us. He weaves like invisible spider webs. Whew, whew. Next thing you know, you feel yucky. Somebody talking about me, Lord. Somebody saying something here. I ain't feeling very good inside. He starts showing me things. Now, if he showing you stuff, I don't know why. Because he will. He will show you things to come. The Word of God says that the Holy Ghost, who is the Spirit of truth, who's sent to give you revelation truth, he said, I will show him. He said, he will show you things to come. Did you know that's the promise? He'll show you these things. And he'll bring everything to your remembrance, whatever is your promise. Every promise and every provision, if you'll get over in that realm of the Spirit. See, I've seen in that realm. I know that realm is real. It's more tangible and more real than this realm is to me. That's where we're moving toward. and hearing about that New Madrid fault. They're supposed to talk about how it's supposed to be this major earthquake coming. You know what? I'm at the point, whatever comes in this life, God is bigger than that. This word is bigger than that. It's bigger. It's bigger. I'm not really afraid of much of anything anymore. So if you just take that one, if you didn't have any other scripture but that one right there, the heritage, oh my goodness, let's go there a minute. Let's just talk a minute, just 1 minute about the heritage of the Lord. What's the heritage of the Lord to you? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Now, do you understand that this is a covenant promise to God's covenant people, Israel? It's our promise too, because we've been grafted in, and he never took anything good, the part of the good out of the covenant. He just made it better and added more to it. Understand? You need to get a grip on that one, because every provision of the old covenant is yours just as much as it was the old saints. But they were servants. But now we've been adopted as sons, and they are too. If they've been born again, Jesus said, you got to be born again or you can't even see the kingdom of God. So even the Jewish people had to get born again. Even the Jew who's old God's old covenant people had to get born again. That's what Abraham's bosom was all about. They were in hold until Jesus could go down there and pull them out of paradise and get them all born again down there. And then they could go on into the kingdom. That's why he told the guy that was on the cross with him, this day you will be with me in paradise. Paradise is what they called Abraham's bosom. And so he met him down there after they all died and pulled them all out, got them all born again down there, preached the gospel to the dead, and they all believed in Jesus. They were waiting on the Messiah anyway down there. They were covenant people. Faithful covenant people. There was Moses. There was Abraham. There was all kinds of people down there waiting. Probably thousands and thousands of them waiting in paradise. And Jesus pulled them all out of there. No weapon. You know that says no weapon? It says no weapon. No matter what it is. No weapon shall prosper. No lie shall prosper. You know, lies are weapons. Chew, glory, glory, glory to God. Well, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness of me, saith the Lord. That's a saith the Lord, buddy. Whew. You better mark that one down. Now, let's go to 1 John. Let's go to the New Testament now. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. You are of God. You are of God. Well, that's a big question right there. First of all, before the next part applies to you, you got to make sure you're of God. Are you born again? Check. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Oh, yeah, check. Are you serving God? Oh, check. Are you reading the Word every day? Check. Are you seeking God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul like the Word of God teaches us to? Check. Are you doing what he says to put first the kingdom? Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be at check. You know, there's a checklist I go by in the Word of God. Some promises aren't provisional. They're provisional promises if you're keeping the condition of the provision. Seriously. It's a little hard to walk in faith when you're out here sinning. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, it really is. I mean, it's really hard to get bold with God. It's hard to get in God's face about something. And I do. But see, there's a holy boldness. There's a holy boldness. Y'all know, anybody know what I'm talking about, a holy boldness? Well, that's what he said. He said in Hebrews, he said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly. Well, I definitely know how to be bold with God. I've had to get in his face a few times. I had to say, forgive me, Lord, about 5 times first. Forgive me first, Lord, for this, and forgive me for that, and forgive me for this. Now we'll get bold. I'm serious. Do what you got to do to get bold with God. Do what you got to do to get to victory. Do what you got to do to get over into that spirit realm and walk in some victory with God. Walk where he sees, you know, get where God wonders, why don't they just do what I said and enjoy the victory? Where we think, well, does God really want to do this for me? Get out of where you're thinking, well, does God really want to do this? To where the angels live and they don't understand Well, why don't they believe that? What's wrong with them people? You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. There's some thems out there we got to overcome. Them. We've overcome them. Who's them? Who in the world are we overcoming? Who's them? Well, a third of heaven's angels fell. One third of heaven's angels were kicked out of heaven, and they became demonic creatures. Anybody ever seen a demon? Oh, wow. Anybody, three children, you've got revelation. You've got a mother that's got revelation knowledge. You don't want her to go to McDonald's during Halloween, because they're going to try to give your child a McDonald's kids meal with a big witch's face on it. And you're going to get in their face in front of everybody at the counter, and you're going to say, like I did in front of your children, excuse me, but I just ordered a Happy Meal and you just gave me something demonic here. I don't practice witchcraft. I don't believe in demonic. I mean, I don't want anything to do with the devil. Would you please give me something in a nice bag? I don't celebrate demonic things. And they'd look at me like, my kids would run. Kids would hide. I don't know that woman. But it has made an impression on them to this day. And now they got kids doing the same thing. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children. Yes, I am. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, let me tell you about being of God. Being of God. I'm so good. I'm so sweet. I love Jesus so much. I get my southern accent going on here. I ain't never done nothing too bad. You know. Get that religious thing going on. Get that religious. Oh, I feel real religious now. I feel real good. I paid my tithes. I'm a good little girl. You know, most people think like that. They think that's what is being of God. Being real religious. Looking just right. Wearing right kind of clothes. Being nice. I ain't so nice sometimes. But I'm of God. I'll guarantee you I'm full of God. I'm full of God. You know why I'm full of God? Because I'm full of His Word. I've been writing His Word. He has been writing His Word in my heart and in my mind for 35 years. Come 35 years. The Holy Ghost started a good work in me and He will perform it. He that began a good work will perform it. I belong to Him. He belongs to me. My life is hid in Christ. It ain't got nothing to do about how nice and good I am, how sweet I am, or how religious I am. I hate religion. But I'm full of God. Well, and God is love. Yeah, you're full of the Word. You're full of God. You're full of God. Phew. And you know what? God will straighten you out. God knows how to get a hold of you and turn your crank and fix you. Oh my goodness, sometimes I got to just fall on my face and say, okay, God, I really repent. I mean, if anybody had a holy awe come over you, I have many times. And then I'll just, and you know what? You know what'll help your flesh better than anything? Go on a 24-hour fast with nothing but water. Try it. Nothing will put your flesh in check faster and better than decreeing. Because fasting really is intensified prayer. That's what fasting is. Fasting is intensified prayer. And you just say, hey, this ain't going to work. This ain't working. And you know the good news is about the Lord is that your relationship is between you and Him anyway. It ain't between anybody else. He ain't between you and anybody else. You are of God. Let's go back to this verse. Let me get past this one phrase here. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. When Jesus said, bring the little children to me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. The thing about a little child, have you ever meditated on this? He calls us little children, doesn't he? Because little children believe anything mommy and daddy says. I used to believe there was a real Santa Claus. Can you believe that one? Little children believe anything. You mean you really believe there was a man that would come down the chimney? We had a chimney. Yeah, because Mom and Dad told me they did. He did. I don't know how old I was before I finally found it out. I was so disappointed. I was mad. I was really mad. My mom and dad lied to me all these years. How dare they lie to me? I never told my kids there was a Santa Claus. Never. Well, I wasn't going to be guilty of that. But I was just so eager to believe anything. They would tell me anything. I'd believe it. And that's how God wants us to be. That's why we're called little children. Jesus said, except you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And what he was talking about, you'll not enter into this God way of life. You'll not walk in the kind of life that God wants you to have until you start believing God like a little child. You find a verse, believe it. Find a scripture, believe it. Act like it's true. And it's amazing how it'll begin to be true. It's amazing how it'll work. It just works like that. You're not trying to get God to be true. God is true. 1 John 4:4, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Now, you've overcome because Jesus overcame. You didn't overcome nothing. You think you could overcome anything? Uh-uh, you ain't. You and I cannot overcome even our own flesh. I can't overcome nothing. I can't even overcome. You know, the biggest thing we can't overcome is this thing right here. This. Can't overcome nothing. But I can overcome because he overcame. It's all about position. I really am come to a place in my walk with God where I realize it's all positional. It's all positional. Who am I and whose am I? Where do I live and who do I live for? What's my position in the kingdom? What's my purpose? What's his plan? Am I seeking first the kingdom? Is that my position every day, seeking first the kingdom? Am I wanting to please him above anybody else? Is that my position? What's my position in the kingdom? What's important to you? What's important to me is a positional thing. Priority is positional. Priority is positional. In 34 or 35 years, this is not bragging, but this is positional. You could count on one hand, probably, maybe two, after 35 years, of all the times I ever missed the service in church. And I'm talking 35 years of Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I wouldn't miss it for nothing. And sometimes I'd go throughout weeks and weeks and weeks of revivals. I would go through snow. I'd go through rain because it's positional with me. I'm seeking first the kingdom, you see. Everybody isn't like that. I understand that, but it's positional with me. I have to have everything God can give me. And I don't want to miss nothing. I'm afraid heaven's going to dump something out in that service and I'll miss it. I'm going to get a revelation. I'm going to miss it. And you can't get secondhand. Have you ever seen how some animals will eat, the mothers will eat the food and then puke it back up and put it in the kid's mouth? Do you want that? I want to hear a fresh word from me out of the mouth of the kingdom, which is a man or woman of God that God has sent. You're hearing a word today that God has sent out of the mouth of an anointed minister that God has positioned in his kingdom. I happen to be in Midway, but this is kingdom work. I'm doing kingdom of heaven work here. There's an unseen force of angels all around here. We are not alone in this room. God is going to make miracles. God is going to begin working miracles. As we're sitting in these services, the Holy Spirit spoke to me yesterday morning and he said, prepare for the miracles. As I was coming out of a sleep, prepare for the miraculous. Whew. And I had to call Pastor Jack. I said, Pastor Jack, I heard a word from God. God spoke to me this morning and I want to know, what do you think? Tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. He says, get your expectancy up. See, we just walk around thinking we're just always the same old, same old, same old. It's always going to be the same. I'm always going to be down. I'm always going to be sick. I'm always going to be sad. I'm always going to be broke. I'm always going to be all this. You're still the elephant on the chain. But it's time to see what the Word says about you. That's all it's all about, the Word. Jesus came to set the captive free. So, positionally, I'm an overcomer. I absolutely, unconditionally, I'm an overcomer, and it's not because of me, it's because of him. I'm absolutely an overcomer. There's no weapon formed against me that can prosper because I'm an overcomer. There's nothing can hold me in bondage. There's no tongue that can hold me in bondage. There's no person, there's no man, there's no situation that can overcome me. There's nothing in life that can is bigger than God. If it's bigger than God, then I can say, okay, maybe. But there's just nothing bigger than God. Nothing. You come up with anything bigger than God, then maybe it could overcome you, but it can't. Because he's already overcome everything. He's the highly exalted name above every name. He said God has so exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. Hallelujah. I wish I had 3 more hours to preach. Because the preach is here. It's in you. The kingdom of heaven is in you, Jesus said. The kingdom has got to be in you. It isn't in your head. It's in your spirit. Amen. Have you ever seen the flash drives? You know those little flash drives? 3 gig, 2 gig, 32 gig. I just bought one. It was 32 gigabytes. Wow. Little bitty thing. I'm telling you, that's some information on that thing. You don't think your human spirit can hold some information? Your human spirit is limitless capacity to receive of the kingdom in your inside of you, in your being, your spirit. Limitless, limitless. You got more than 32 gig capacity in you. Put a lot of word in you. Get a lot of word in you. We haven't even begun to download all the word that God wants us to have. And my goodness, start acting like it's true. That's what the devil's the most afraid of, is that you will really believe what I'm telling you today. You'll really, really believe the word of God. You'll really believe you're more than a conqueror. You'll really believe that you're more than an overcomer. You'll really believe that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You'll really start believing that. Yeah. And you'll start believing that you can say to mountains, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. I declare that I'm going to have a desk right over here. I declare that I'm going to have a new buffet right over here. And it wasn't here when I said that either. When I broke my ankle, you're healed in the name of Jesus. And I'm in terrible pain. But my pain is in my flesh. Now don't go out and do all this if you don't really believe it. Because it's not pretend here. It's not play. You have to really believe it. I'm talking on a level that maybe you've never even believed for a cold yet. You ain't gonna believe for a broken ankle if you ain't believed for a cold. I used to suffer with sinus infections. Oh my goodness. Sinus. Until finally, I got fed up with it. It's the truth. When a believer finally gets fed up with being fed up, gets done with being done, and you realize, I don't have to deal with this anymore. I don't have to have this in my life anymore. No. And you put the brakes on and you've put your foot down to the devil and you find out, what God do I have to do to get the victory over this? Is there anything I need to do? And he will show you. He'll show you. And it's amazing the things he might start telling you to do to get the victory. You know, we just want God to come along and just zap us. But if he zapped you and healed you and you're still doing bad things to your body, it would just come right back. You know? Seriously. You have to eat right. Your body's just a temple. Your body is a machine. So I said, God, I'm just done. And I began to seek God about how to walk in the victory over this thing. I'm not going to have another day. First of all, I had to decree I'm not going to have another day of sinus attack. I'm not going to suffer with sinus ever again. Ever again. Mark it down, devil. And I said it to him in my mouth, in my spirit. Come out of here. Come out of my belly. Never again another day am I going to suffer with sinus. Never another day. And it had to come out of my belly. And it had to be based on the word of God, because the word of God says that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Not trying to get healed. I am the healed because I was healed. That has to come by revelation. That can't come because you just want it to come. You have to dig for this. You have to want this more than anything. You know, honestly, I think what has separated me in my life more than anything else, finally, I got tired of being lazy and just getting by. I got tired of just scooting along and getting by the best I could. You know, most believers just scoot along, get by the best they can, as long as everything's going okay. But it seemed like nothing was ever working for me. Every time I turned around, something was going out of whack. Every time I turned around, the devil was after me. Every time I turned around, I was in trouble. Every time I turned around, I was sick. I mean, it was just attack, attack, attack. And finally, I said, God, am I the only one? Why me? Am I got a bullseye on me or something? Anybody ever feel like you had a bullseye on your back? And you're under some kind of satanic radar or something? Seriously. If you do, you better get in the Word and find out how to deal with that. I was in a meeting one night, and that's why I don't miss meetings. Because I think that people miss their best opportunities to get healings and other revelations because they miss meetings. But I was in a meeting one night, and I'll never forget it. I don't even remember when it was and where it was. It might have been in Boonies land somewhere, because I used to go Boonie land hunting. I'm talking, well, I didn't have GPS, so where, what street, what road, down this road, down that road, I'll get lost in the middle of the night. Anybody ever done that? Just to hear the preacher. Well, they got a word. Okay, well, look, gotta go. And I'd go. Rosemary knows what I'm talking about. We used to go to some boony places. And I got this word, this man, this prophet was there, and he said, there's been a devil tracking you. Man, he's like a bloodhound on your trail. You've come all the way down from northeastern Kentucky hunting you. Told me that. Oh, I can believe that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I believe that. And he said, we need to deal with that right now. And that man of God said, with all the authority and authority, I mean, it was like, oh, and spoke to that demon and said, you will stop tracking her from this day forward. I say you are diverted and commanded to go back where you came from. Wow. What if I'd not went to that meeting? Wow. I mean, eventually I believe I would have got the victory, but, you know, I'm glad I was there that night. Yeah, I'm glad I was there to receive a supernatural word and impartation, or actually this man of God did something I wasn't capable of doing yet because I wasn't there yet emotionally and, I mean, spiritually. I just hadn't grown to that level yet. You know, we just got to start believing. You got to start realizing there's some, I don't care how long they've been serving God, maybe 10 years, maybe younger than us, that have more than we have because they've been pressing into more. They've been seeking more. Doesn't matter how long you've been serving God. If you've been pressing in to get more, you're going to have more. I'm telling you what, God is raising up some evangelists right now that's only been saved a few number of years, and man, they're walking on some devil's heads. Amen. And we can't even deal with them in our home. They're pulling down strongholds in other people's lives. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer that if you don't start learning how to pull down strongholds in your own life, you ain't going to help nobody else. Mm-hmm. Strongholds. Strongholds. Glory. 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:5, just flip over to the next chapter, 5. Chapter 5, verse 5 says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth. He that believeth. This is how I see the believer. This is how I see my believer, this part of me that believes. This is where our spirit man. Everybody has a capacity to believe the same. Do you know that everybody has the same ability to believe? I'm telling you, every single child of God, God is no respecter of persons. It's over 30 times in the Word of God. In the New Testament alone, it says God is no respecter of persons. And he gives every man a measure of faith. And it's what do you do with your faith that is, it's all about what do you do with it. It's all about you. So he says here, who is he? This is a question. Who is he that overcomes the world? Who is, does not questions start with a who, what, when, and where? Who, what, when, and where, right? Who is he that overcomes the world? Who? It's so simple, we overlook it. It's just so simple, I overlook it. It's the ones who believe in Jesus. It's the ones who believe. The report. Who believes our report? Isaiah 53. Who believes our report? Whose report are you going to believe? You're going to believe the doctor's report? You're going to believe your family's report? You're going to believe this one's? What report? Where's your faith? Well, he that believeth. And you notice that word believeth is past tense. It's believing. You see, You believed for the greatest capacity of faith when you got born again. In your spirit, man, you believed that there was a man that lived 2,000 years ago named Jesus Christ. You believed that he died a horrible, suffering death for you on the cross. You really believed that, or you wouldn't be born again. You really believed that he died. You really did believe that. If you're born again, there is no other way of getting born again except you don't believe that. So if you can believe that without having been there and seen physical proof, eyewitness account, if you can believe that, well, there, I'm going to tell you, child of God, there's no limit to what you can believe now. It's been blown wide open. You done blowed it wide open when you believe that. You got capacity now to believe. That's what being born again does for you. It opens up your spirit, man, for the kingdom of God to rush in. Jesus told the woman at the well, he said, you're asking me water and I can give you living water. And it'll be in you like a well springing up in you. That never runs dry. So now that you're born again, you've got something going on inside of you. And you can believe for anything. I'm telling you, you can believe for anything. The next step is get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Get the power going on. Now then you got some reservoir, rivers going on in you now. And you've got greater capacity to operate in the gifts. You know, the gifts do not come without the Holy Ghost. The power doesn't come without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus told him, said, wait and tarry. And you got, I want you to go out. The commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And to every creature. And they believe, they'll be saved. And if they don't believe, they'll be damned. That's the great commission of every believer, whether you're filled with the Holy Ghost or not. But he told him, don't go do that until you get filled with the power to go out and deal with some devils. Go get some power. You got to have the power if you're going to tread on scorpions, on serpents. And then once you get the power, my goodness, child of God, start using it. Glory. Speak to some mountains. Try it. It works. It works. Practice it. Whew, glory. Learn how to take an invisible bullseye and put it on the devil's head. And then get the word of God like a big old bazooka and aim it right at it. Pow! Put him in his place. You'll wake him. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. The word says really in the Greek as in sheer terror with his head, tail tucked between his legs. We play with the devil. Well, he'll be a good little devil. Maybe he'll leave me alone. Oh, no, no, no. We want to be nice to the devil. Maybe he'll be nice to me. You don't deal with devils like that. No. No, 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 no. You better not be nice to the devil. You better take authority over that thing and tell him what is going to happen to him. Glory. Corinthians chapter 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creature. Want to know what this new creature looks like. We've never seen this new creature, I don't think. We've seen glimpses of what this new creature can do and act like and talk like and look like. But yet the body of Christ has got to, we all are called new creatures. What are you? Do you know really what you are? You're a new creature. Well, what's this new creature look like? I want a revelation of this. I want to know, what is this new creature all about? You know, does it have fangs? Claws. It's a new creature now. I mean, it's never been seen before. Remember Star Trek? The imagination runs wild. What do I look like in the spirit realm to God? Have you ever seen what Jesus looks like really? Not the nice, sweet little pictures of Jesus that we see hanging on the walls. You know what Jesus really looks like? The one that was the firstborn among many brethren? Do you know what Jesus really looks like in his new, reborn? I mean, Jesus literally was raised from the dead. He was the firstborn from the dead. Get a look at him. And maybe we look a little like that, this new creature being that we are. He was white as snow. His feet were like brass. Out of his mouth came a sword, a flaming sword. That's what new creatures, I think, are supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. And when the devil sees a person who knows who they are in Christ, that they really know who they are and what they look like, I think he sees it. He sees you and I coming in the spirit. We just don't know what we are or what we really look like. But I'm a new creature. I want to know what this new creature is all about. If you're a new creature, don't you want to know? I kind of like to know. What does this new creature do? Can I jump 50 feet? I'm talking new creature now. New creature, never existed ever before until Jesus' death, burial, resurrection. New creature in Christ. Take a look in Revelation what Jesus really looks like right now. Not the sweet little Jesus that walked in Galilee. But look at him now, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The bright and morning star. Our God is a consuming fire, the Word of God says. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, then how come that same old addiction's hanging on you? How come you can't get free of them cigarettes? I smoked three. Oh, I loved them. Three packs a day. You know what I would look like right now after 35 years of smoking three packs a day? Who knows? I'm probably not going to help. My fingernails have been yellow. I used to work in dentistry, and people would come in. They actually had yellow hair on their tongues from all they smoked so much. Cigarettes are death. They're just a death sentence waiting to happen. I'm just telling you the truth. New creatures don't look like that. New creatures don't do some of the things we used to do. New creatures, old things have passed away. Mm-hmm. God's bringing us into some new revelations and new things to walk into. Mm-hmm. Walking in some victories. You know, the Holy Ghost will tell you what to do. Amen. As a new creature. Do you know what he's been prompting me to do lately? Spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit. You possess a soul and you live in a body. The new creature is your human spirit. You just happen to be living in a earth suit, a temple. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost now. Holy Ghost lives in you. He's been talking to me about my flesh. He's been talking to me about taking authority over some things in my flesh. Now, how can I take authority over my flesh? Simple, because my flesh is in subjection to the real me. The new creature me. The new creature me is an authority over the body me. There's three me's. The spirit me, the emotional me, and the body me. But the one that rules is the new creature me. You understand what I'm talking about? And what you got to do sometimes is take a hold of the old neck of your old fleshly me and tell it what to do. And it don't want to die. It dies a hard death. But you tell it to pray. You tell it to read. You tell it to seek God. No, I really would rather go over here and get on the computer. Or I'd really rather go do that. Or I'd rather go shopping. Or I'd rather go Goodwill. Or whatever. No, the spirit man, the real you, the creature new you, creature you, is saying, you got to get all of God you can get right now while you can get it. You don't know how long you're going to have a Bible to even get it out of. You know, they could shut it all down in an instant. And then where are you going to be? Glory, glory, glory. Well, Father, I just seal this word today. God, I thank you for the outpouring of your spirit. God, you move here. However, Father God, you want to have your way here in every heart, every life, and every mind, every soul, every being. Right down to our toenails, God. Move in our beings. And our ankle bones and our shoulder bones and our thigh bones and our head, our muscles and our brain, our gray matter of our brains and our sinuses, God. Just permeate every part of our being, God. Just move through our old flesh, our cells, our blood vessels, our spleens, our livers, our pancreases. Oh, we just do some regeneration work here in our bodies today. Let there be some new things change. Some new things come forth. New things. I'm calling new things in this place today, Father. I'm asking for new things. I'm asking for things that are missing to be to replace them. I'm asking, God, if there's anything in our bodies that's been that needs to be replaced, they'd be replaced. Anything that's not working, that it start working. I'm speaking forth healing in everybody's life. Healing in every body. Every single human body. That cells will be regenerated. It's been destroyed. Brain cells from drinking too much. And Lord, that was me. Regenerate those brains. Regenerate any damage toward the emotional man or any holes in our brains or anything, God, that needs to be repaired. I'm pulling on every stronghold right now. I'm pulling on every strap. Oh, I command every strap to come off of you in the name of Jesus. I say ankle bracelets, come off in the name of Jesus. I'm saying every lie that the devil's told you, I bind that lie right now. And it'll not have any more effect against your mind. You'll not believe it anymore in the name of Jesus. That lie that's been perpetrated against you, I cancel it right now. I say you are not going to be controlled and manipulated and maneuvered by that lie ever again from this day forward, whoever you are in here, in the name of Jesus. I cancel that assignment off of your life, in the name of Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you, God, for the miraculous. I thank you for the move of the Holy Spirit here today. I thank you, God, for no weapon formed against us can prosper. No way. And we can rejoice in that, God, and we do. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I bind every pain. I speak to pain right now. I say, pain, I bind you right now in this church. I'm binding everyone that has pain in this body, in their bodies. I bind pain, and I command pain to stop now in the name of Jesus. I speak to pain. You spirit of pain, you're bound, and I cast you out of here in the name of Jesus. Depression, get off their minds. Oppression, get off. Leave them in Jesus' name. New creatures don't have depression. New creatures in Christ don't walk around sad and mad. Oh, you spirit of anger, you get out of there. You go in Jesus' name. Yeah, go. Kind of reminds me of my cat. Ever sit down to eat a meal and you're sitting there eating and like, here comes the cat. Get out of here. We just need to learn how to deal with the devil. Father, I just thank you, God, that no weapon formed against us here today, no weapon, that whatever assignment the enemy, I'm breaking every assignment off of everybody, God, here. Everybody gets an assignment broken today. I'm canceling every assignment of the devil and the wicked one today off of every life present in Jesus' name. Every assignment off the children. Oh, every assignment you've planned against their children and their children's children. I'm breaking every assignment. I conclude my own. Satan, you're bound. Your lies, your assignments are broken, and your plans and devices are bound, and they're come to nothing. I say you come to nothing in Jesus' name. We break the power of that lie in Jesus' name. No weapon, no lie in the name of Jesus can function and be successful. No weapon. If God be for us, who can be against us? That means nobody, God, nobody, nobody. Nobody's bigger than you. If God be for you, nobody can successfully be our enemy anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Y'all ought to be feeling free about right now. Y'all ought to be feeling real free after this word today. Well, let's just praise the Lord. Let's do that song again before we leave.